You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
What do we make of the Oakland A's? And I am going to sit here and try to figure this out with Jane Lee, who, of course, covers the Oakland Athletics every single day of our wonderful baseball season. I'm Allison Footer. Jane, I'm saying this because I'm really not quite sure. I'm a little encouraged about what they were able to do against the Royals. So when anybody's able to win a series against the Royals, the world champions, I guess it's a good thing. They took 2 of 3. They won some close games. It was the first series win against Kansas City since 2013. So that had to have given the team a little bit of a lift, I would think.
Yeah, it definitely did. I think that was kind of much needed, especially coming at home where, up to that series, they had only won one game at home. And I know that Bob Melvin especially takes pride in playing well at home in front of those fans. So some good things to take from it. They also only scored, 8 runs in those 3 games. And still, the good news is, of course, they still won the series. But it really speaks to their offense right now. Their offense just hasn't been able to get going up to this point. And this was seen as kind of I think they were cautiously optimistic that this was going to be an area of strength for them. They really liked the depth of the lineup, the way they can mix and match with so many versatile guys. But at this point, it just seems like up and down, everyone's been struggling. And it's also tough for Melvin to get guys consistent playing time. And I think especially at the beginning of the season, they really need that consistent playing time, those consistent at-bats to get going. And it's just not happening. And I know it's frustrating for everyone involved. You know, Melvin has to keep everyone involved, everyone current, but, matchups play into it. They have another long string of right-handers coming up. So that means it's tough for guys like Mark Canha, Billy Butler, and then the Coco Crisp, Billy Burns dynamic, choosing between those two every day. There's just a lot of tough decisions, and I think it's just hard to get this offense going when you can't really run out the same lineup every day. So that's something they're still trying to figure out. But on the plus end, you score 8 runs in a series and still win it, that means your pitching is doing pretty well. And that is something that has been there for them pretty much the whole season so far. Particularly the bullpen starters. Some of the starters are still struggling to give them as many innings as they need, really, but the bullpen's just kind of been there to pick up the slack every day, it seems like, and they've been really good throughout. So I think that, especially after last season, the way things went for the bullpen, that's extremely encouraging. And I think it's good to see, you have that, and you have potential with the offense. It's there. It just hasn't shown up in games yet. So if they can get the offense going, this could end up being a well-rounded team. It's just kind of, getting everything to start working at the same time.
Yeah, and we don't want to make too much out of so few games that have been played, but at the same time, to have played so poorly at home, like you said, to be able to pull out a couple wins against the Royals. I mean, they don't want to wait. Like, at the end of the season, we can look at a team that wins a division, and they play, 10, 15 games over 500 at home. They're around 500 on the road, and then it evens out to, having a pretty nice season. So
yeah, and especially, the way things work now, too. I mean, if you can just kind of hang in there, with that second wild card, I think it really just kind of changes things for everyone.
Yeah. They definitely don't just want to try to have to scramble at the end, and you have to take advantage of your home field. So that was good to see them do that. Let me see what else. Oh, it's Jesse Hahn. What are we making of this? So we suspect that he's probably going to get a call-up soon. He hasn't been called up yet, right?
No, he hasn't. I would suspect by the end of the month. I spoke with him yesterday for the first time since spring, actually. When he was sent down to AAA, he left before anyone could talk to him. So it was good just to kind of see where he was at. We see the numbers. The numbers are really good. But to see where he is just, not only mentally, but how he's feeling about everything. And he's in a really good place. I think, he admitted to the fact that just the change of scenery, getting out of Arizona, it was such a tough spring for a lot of pitchers there. It was even drier than normal. And it's just a tough area to pitch, especially for guys like Jesse that rely on their breaking stuff so much. And he said all that kind of back into form. He's really changed nothing. It's just, you know, he's trying to keep the ball down. His breaking stuff is breaking again. His curveball is back to where it usually is. And he's been able to work on a changeup, too, while he's been down there. So he starts again tonight. And this, of course, is the same day that Derek Sercamp will pitch for the A's. And so far, Sercamp has been struggling to give them innings. So this could be an interesting dynamic tonight to see how both pitch. Jesse's pitching in Colorado Springs for the Sounds, and then Sercamp's obviously here against the Yankees. So I really wouldn't be surprised if, you know, one more mediocre outing for Sercamp, you know, is enough to convince the A's it's time to get Jesse back. Because Jesse, I mean, last year he was considered, you know, one of the more promising young starters in the game. And really going into spring was expected to, you know, be a big piece for them in their rotation. So I definitely see him still being that. And, you know, he said yesterday he still envisions it too. You know, when he says we, he thinks of himself as being a part of this rotation. And I think once we see him back, I could see him doing really well. So I would say before the end of the month, you know, perhaps as soon as, you know, the end of this week or early next week.
Okay. And then the last question I have for you is just, I couldn't help but notice that Ryan Madsen closed a game recently. That was just because Doolittle had pitched a few days in a row, right? There's no conspiracy theory here that roles are changing.
Well, you know, they're keeping their options open there, I think. I think right now they're kind of, you know, just saying, hey, we have the flexibility with, you know, left-handed Doolittle and a right-handed Madsen. And sometimes the matchups in the eighth inning mean that Doolittle needs to pitch, you know, either the entire eighth or, you know, to at least a batter, and that sets up Madsen for the ninth. So I don't know that, you know, Doolittle is the lone closer right now. I mean, the team has three saves, and they all belong to Madsen. So I think it's going to be something that we're going to see pretty often. And I think that, you know, Melvin's always great about communicating with his players, and he's, of course, already spoken to them about it. And I think, you know, with guys like Madsen and Doolittle, such stand-up guys, there's really no egos there. And they kind of understand the situation and, you know, don't really care who's, you know, pitching the eighth, who's pitching the ninth. I know that, you know, fans love to, you know, see one guy, you know, being the guy, being anointed as the closer. But with the flexibility they have with those two, I could see it, you know, kind of being a mix and match situation, just depending on the matchup. So, you know, I think that, you know, Melvin isn't afraid to use Madsen in those situations if, you know, it means Doolittle pitching in a situation that, you know, fits the matchup in the eighth.
Yeah, sometimes you just have to, over the years of covering teams, you have to be able to read between the lines a lot, I guess. And there's always red flags that go up, you know, no matter what the team says. You know, when people are struggling or whatever, changes can be made, and sort of have to be prepared for them. So, okay, Jane, thank you. Get back to your work, and we will talk to you next week. Thanks.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.